today as we come to the table.
Having facts and knowledge without how to apply those and how to use them and how to have a tender heart, it means nothing. It's almost like that whole thing where Paul said, you know, you can be a noisemaker, you know, clanging cymbal and all that. Without love, it profits us nothing. This is where love is shaped and molded. This is where tenderness is shaped and molded, is in the hard times, in the desert times, in the times where you feel like maybe God has forgotten you and there's nothing really, you know, that you thought would happen in life is not happening. And God is saying, you know, I'm working, I'm molding, I'm shaping. The wheel is spinning. The hands of the master craftsman are on the pot as this, the water's running down. He's shaping it into exactly the vessel that he wants it to be.
Wouldn't it be easy if everyone took you at your word just because you actually knew what you were talking about? Knowledge is powerful and it's helpful in many situations, but as Pastor Mark will share today, it means nothing if not delivered in a loving and gentle manner. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. You're going to meet people in this world who are obviously sinful, and as a follower of Christ, you'll know what's wrong with them. But how far are you going to get by simply telling them the error of their ways? They probably already know. Pastor Mark reminds you to take a gentle and loving approach to the truth. Give grace the way God has for you. With that being said, turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 2 and join Pastor Mark as he continues his message, The Gentle Comforts of God.
Sit down by the well. Sit down, just soak in the word of the Lord, God's goodness. And wherever you are, whether it's the land of strife, whether it's a desert place, whatever it is, whether it's in the palace of Pharaoh, you still need to be drinking in, because you're going to need that when the times are dry. You're going to need to be filled up and refreshed and strengthened of the Lord. That's what God does with his word. Exodus chapter 2. And we take up starting with verse 16. And we're not really going to finish the chapter, because actually verses 23 to 25, I think, go better with chapter 3. But we're going to work our way up through 22 tonight. Finish this portion about the tender mercies of the Lord in Moses' life, the gentle comforts of God. Notice verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, well, how is it that you have come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. So he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you've left the man? Call him, that we may eat bread. And then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I've been a stranger in a foreign land. As I read this, really the gentle comforts of God really are what jumped out at me as we look at tonight's passage. But it's kind of funny. You know, a lot of times when I start putting a study together, I never really know where the Lord's going to take it and what he's going to have me emphasize. And I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to put in my heart what he wants to emphasize. And I think he's done that. And a lot of times it's quite a surprise. And I never expected really to almost have a teaching on marriage in these verses here. But there's so many things that jumped out at me that I've never seen before in these few verses in light of marriage. So we're going to talk about the gentle comforts of God in Moses' life as he's in a difficult time, but we're also going to talk a little bit about husbands and wives and some of the things that we are for each other in marriage and just let God develop it how he wants to, you know. But sometimes we find ourselves in very hard situations. You guys ever been there? I say that, you know, tongue-in-cheek, because we all have. And I found over the years in some of the hardest moments of my life, you know, almost that time where you feel the most broken and you're just like, I'm done, you know, whatever it is. It could be job. It could be your life. For some of you, it may have been something in your marriage. It could be whatever it is. But those moments where you're completely broken before the Lord, you're like, there's no reason to go on, right? It's often in those times that God sends the sweetest comforts into our life. I found that to be true. I can remember being at times where just devastated about something in life, And out of the blue comes this gentle little gift from God, or this comfort that comes straight from heaven that just blows me away. And it breaks you down in tears. And you've probably had those. If you haven't, you're going to, because it's part of God's plan. God molds us and shapes us through those times. He has to get us in times that are very difficult and very hard. But when he does it, he sends those tender mercies right in the midst of it and gives us that comfort we need to go on. And oftentimes, nobody knows it but the Lord in us. You know, there's that heart exchange between him, and he gives us what we need. You know, the bottom line is when the world turns on us, God never does. And so he'll bring those sweet blessings in right when we need them. Now, where we last left off, remember Moses was on the run from Pharaoh. He just killed an Egyptian, defending another Hebrew. God had put in his heart that he was to be the deliverer for the children of Israel out of Egypt, and yet it wasn't God's timing. So he did it, but it was a huge disaster. You know, we made the application. He stepped out in something God had called him to do. Before God called him to step out, he wasn't ready. He wasn't fully equipped. He wasn't fully shaped and molded for that particular call. Yes, he could serve the Lord in other ways, but not as the deliverer of Israel yet. He wasn't mature enough for that. God had 40 more years of molding and shaping, which Moses had no idea was needed. And Moses stepped out knowing the call of God, hearing the call of God, and it was a total disaster. And he ran, as we said last week, to the backside of the desert. And now this whole molding and shaping process of Moses begins. I had somebody ask me, when it comes to ministry, what is the most important thing? Learning a bunch of facts in study or having experiential knowledge? By far, having experiential knowledge is the greatest ministry tool any of us in this room could ever have. Because having facts and knowledge without how to apply those and how to use them and how to have a tender heart, it means nothing. It's almost like that whole thing where Paul said, you know, you can be a noisemaker, you know, clanging cymbal and all that. Without love, it profits us nothing. This is where love is shaped and molded. This is where tenderness is shaped and molded, is in the hard times, in the desert times, in the times where you feel like maybe God has forgotten you and there's nothing really, you know, that you thought would happen in life is not happening. And God is saying, you know, I'm working, I'm molding, I'm shaping. The wheel is spinning. The hands of the master craftsman are on the pot as this, the water's running down. He's shaping it into exactly the vessel that he wants it to be. And this is where Moses is. You know, Moses was thinking, I'm ready. I'm the vessel. I'm the vase. You know, Moses at this time was a vase. God was going to make him a vase. Right? Sometimes it takes a long time to do that. But we need to understand that while God sends us through these testings and trials and sometimes long periods of waiting, he's also faithful to give the gentle comforts along the way because he knows it's hard and he wants to love us and minister to us. And so, that's where we are with Moses tonight. It's interesting. There's only a few short verses here that talks about these 40 years. We're going to start here in 16, and by the time we get to 22 and finish 22, we've spent 40 years in the wilderness. So we're covering a 40-year period tonight in these few verses. So the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Moses' life with Zipporah and Moses' life in the wilderness. We don't get a lot of information on that, and that's by God's design. He'll give us what we need and won't give us what we don't need. But we know that it was a huge portion. I mean, this was a massive portion of his life. The first 40 years was also a huge portion. We didn't get a whole lot of info on that either, did we? Now, we got a whole lot about the first 3 months. You know, that whole thing where mom takes him, puts him in the basket, Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And then all of a sudden, we have this 40-year jump, you know, where he suddenly is now this grown man at 40. He goes out and tries to answer God's call too soon. And now he runs off. We have another 40 years. We're going to hear the most about Moses' life in the last 40 years when he has that time where God really can use him. But hey, that first 40 years was a huge portion of Moses' life. This 40 years is a huge portion of Moses' life. And it wasn't that it wasn't important to God. It wasn't that it wasn't important to Moses. It's just not really important to what we need as far as how God would use Moses in ministry. And remember, we talked about God takes many years to form the man or the woman that he wants them to be. And oftentimes, all we see in the scripture is after God has spent all that time with them. And we look and we say, I could never be like Moses. Well, maybe after 80 years you could. I could never be like Paul. Well, maybe after 13 years, after Paul got saved, you don't hear anything about Paul. Now, no doubt Paul was serving in his local synagogue during that time, you know, probably doing cleanup and kids ministry and painting walls and everything that comes with being trained up in the Lord, probably doing that stuff. But we don't hear about any major ministry for Paul for years, you know, 13, 14 years, nothing. And then all of a sudden God says, Paul, now you're ready. Sends Paul out, and then we get the books of the Bible, like most of the New Testament, written by the hand of Paul. He was prepared. He was ready. So there's those years of preparation. And for Moses, this was a third of his life ordained of God. And it would note this, these 40 years were just as ordained as the first 40 years and the last 40 years. But why only the last 40 years? Because that's really where God could use him the most. But the first 80 were foreordained. They were ordained by the Lord. Foreordained, yes, but and ordained by the Lord, right? So if you're going through a desert time and a molding time and a shaping time and a waiting time, this is ordained of God. You've not been forgotten. You're not off of his radar. He's doing a work. And it's very important to God. It's just that you're going to be much more useful to him by the time he's done. And he's going to be able to send you out into ministry like he wants to do. So understand that. You know, we begin to take things for granted. During this time, we're going to see that Moses gets married. And again, we don't hear a lot about Moses' married life. We're going to hear a little bit more about Zipporah lately. And she was a pretty fiery little thing. A little firecracker we're going to see about her. But you know what? Only because we see the firecracker episodes, I think maybe in our mind we can paint a picture of maybe Moses having a rough marriage. I don't know about that. I think, you know, when I think of the hardness that Moses was going through, the way I know the Lord, I think he probably gave him somebody that was really sweet and ministered to him in a really neat way. And yeah, we're going to see later on that she gets upset because God gives the command for Moses to circumcise his children. That was something that was new. You know, I mean, it wasn't that new. Of course, Abraham had done it, and it was new to Zipporah. Zipporah was a Gentile. She had a father as a pastor, we're going to see, but who knew the Lord, quite obviously. But at the same time, was still a Gentile, was not a Jew. And they didn't do that, no doubt, in the particular ministry that God had called Jethro to. And so when she has to do that, you know, she gets in a situation where God is now going to chastise and really judge Moses for not being obedient to his word. You know, Moses telling him what to do, and he gave in to the pressure of his wife. I think that's a temptation for any husband in a stressful situation. And so God's going to kill Moses. Sounds drastic, doesn't it? It says God was coming to kill Moses. Now, that's really drastic when you realize he had just molded him for 40 years in the backside of the desert and now sending him to do his ministry. And now when he goes off for his first pastorate, he's going to kill him. And she comes and throws the foreskins at his feet and says, "You're a husband of blood to me." Well, it's very clear from that episode, she didn't want to do that. She didn't want to circumcise her boys. That's going to hurt. And I don't want my family going through anything that hurts for the ministry. Well, you have a lot of lessons to learn, Zipporah. Because there's going to be a lot of cutting and bleeding if you're in the ministry. That goes with the territory. And it's not just going to be you, Moses, and it's not going to be just you, Zipporah. It's going to be your kids. So a lot of lessons. And I'm getting into a whole other lesson talking about that. God, you know, knew here that he was going to bless him. And this is the time where he gets married. And I think a lot of us take our marriages for granted. But guys, marriage is a gift from the Lord. It's a blessing of the Lord. I mean, without a spouse, we would not only be alone, but we wouldn't have any help in what we need. I find that it's interesting how God does things. And you guys are going to associate with me when I tell you this. The things that I really just can't do good, Tracy seems to really be good at. And the things she doesn't seem to be that good at, God has gifted me to do. And God does that by design. It's so that we work together as a team. He does that with you, with your husband and wife. You work together as a team, and he'll give different gifts and abilities. I find the same thing is true in ministry. There are things I can do that I'm better at than, say, Pastor Brian. There's things Pastor Brian is better at than I am. And I recognize, like I said, man, you've got a gift there. I don't have that. Thank the Lord you're here to fill that. Or other people on staff, or maybe it's an elder. And God does that on purpose because we're a body, aren't we? If one person of the body could do everything, you know, if you had the guy that was the hearing, the eyes, the speech, the walking, the administer, everything, you wouldn't need anybody. It would be a complete body in one person. But God gives us each different gifts so that we can all work together. And this is why we working as a body together is so important. We have to do that. We need each other, you know. We need every part of the body. And you guys are different parts of that. So that's why you need to be serving. And this is where a wife comes in. It's where a husband comes in oftentimes. And I also think of the times that we're comforted and ministered to by our spouses. You know, the whole world's falling apart around us. And we need somebody to comfort us. And God uses a spouse to do that. Now, I know this can be especially hard if some of you are single, or maybe we're married and now single. God will now be your spouse. God will give you those tender mercies. It's just that when there is that spouse, God oftentimes gives those tender mercies through that spouse. You know, you're not alone if you're single. God is with you. And when the time is right, God will bring someone into your life if that is his design for your life. So you learn to wait, and we learn to wait on the Lord. So don't feel like somehow you're left out. I think there's things that God does as we're single that can't be done when you're married. And then there's things God does in our life when you're married that can't be done when you're single. It works both ways. And there are great advantages to being single. When you're single, you have a lot more time to serve the Lord. And I think oftentimes we can only focus on the fact that we're single. And God says, you know what? Serve me. Take advantage of this time and go for it. And then when the time is right, you know, I'll take care of those details. or give you the comfort that you need to be that husband or that wife for you. So we take them for granted oftentimes, but it's important we not lose sight of the fact that God will often love us and comfort us through our spouse, especially in the seasons of our life, like Moses is about to go through, the hard times and the dry times and the difficult times. God knew that Moses was going to go through 40 years of preparation in the wilderness, you know? Think about it as a parent. If you knew your child was going to go through 40 years of something really hard, you would have some little surprises set out along the way. And you would want those comforts, those gentle comforts and tender mercies in their life. You'd want to minister to them at those times. And if you had the ability of God, you'd want to strategically place them so that you'd be able to comfort them and build them up during that time. This is what God's going to do with Moses. I love to watch the Lord work. And it's more exciting looking back at it now because I've seen God use these tender mercies in my life. That probably if I shared a couple of them with you, which I'm not going to do, you'd probably laugh at some of the things that comfort me. God knows what it is that comforts us. And he knows what it is that we need. And so God is now giving him a wife to help him through this. And I can't tell you how many times, again, I've seen this happen in our marriage where she's down and I've been able to comfort her and I'm down. She's been able to comfort me. And you guys have felt that as well. And so this is what God is going to be doing with Moses. Now imagine Moses' mindset. Moses has just stepped out, just really feeling that God had called him, but it wasn't God's time to complete the full call that he had on Moses' life. So Moses now no doubt feels like he's messed up. He's probably got certain fear factor, whether or not the Pharaoh's going to come looking for him in the wilderness, that's probably there. He probably is thinking, maybe I've missed my call. You know, oftentimes when it doesn't happen the way we think it should or in God's timing, we think we've missed our call. You know, there may even have been times he's probably felt forgotten by God. God is going to use this part of his life and Zipporah and the things he brings in to let him know, I've not forgotten you. We're right on track, and I'm going to send you the gentle comforts that you need. And now we see God beginning as he settles in the beginning of his 40 years in the wilderness. We take up in 16 and watch God begin to send those tender mercies. Notice, as we said, he's run. He's settled there by the well. We ended that last week, sat down by the well, wondering what's going to happen. And just so happens, I love God. Notice it says, now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs of water to water their father's flock. Now, a lot of things in this. Notice the priest had 7 daughters. You know, I thought I had a lot with 4. Imagine 7 daughters. You know, I run into pastors, and maybe I just notice them because, you know, when you see something, if you buy a certain car, you notice everyone like it on the road. Maybe it's not really lopsided like that, but it seems like I run into a lot of pastors that just have a bunch of daughters, you know. I got a couple just recently, you know, 4 daughters and 5 daughters and all these daughters they have. And I'm thinking, I think of Stephen in the Bible. He had 4 daughters, remember, that all prophesied and this kind of stuff. And there's something I think, you know, as I think about it over the years, you know, people have said to me, Mark, do you wish you had a son? Honestly, no. I was very happy with whatever God would give me. I love my girls. I wouldn't trade them for the world. And I see the hand of God in that. Because there's something very obviously in my life and in other pastors' lives that only little girls can mold. And so I see it, you know, God uses that to mold. I know that God has used it in my life to soften a lot of rough edges. God uses, you know, your children, whether they be male or female, God uses them. God knows what he's doing, and he'll give you those that he wants you to have. And here, this priest of Midian has 7 daughters. Interesting, the number 7 in Scripture, as you know, is the number of completion, exactly what God knew that Jethro needed and what Jethro, you know, how God would use these ladies, you know, these young women, these daughters in his life to mold and shape him and to be a blessing to his family. He gives us exactly what we need. We have to learn to trust God. Just let God have that way in our life. And notice it says they drew water to give to their flocks. Now, normally the boys would draw the water. You would send the boys out to be the shepherds. What if you don't have any? 7 daughters, right? They're going to be going out and drawing water. And so now they go out to draw the water. And no doubt when they would go, you know, we need a little bit of background here, I think, with this, that wells were scarce back then. You know, in the Middle East, there's not a lot of water. And when you did find one, you would build a well, and they were scattered out in different areas. Well, all of the flocks needed water, so all the different shepherds would come for water, and it was very normal for the ones that were stronger to run away the ones that were weaker and to get the water first and take care of their need first. So imagine the daughters coming up. Here come the daughters watching all the flocks. They bring the flocks up, and these other, you know, shepherds come up, these guys that come up or whatever. And they would oftentimes no doubt have to wait because they would close the well up with a large stone so that animals couldn't get in it and things couldn't fall in it. And so you had to wait till some of the stronger men came oftentimes to push, you know, the rocks away. We don't know what the circumstances were with this particular well. But when they did that, that would mean they were going to be second fiddle. The men are going to go first, oftentimes bullying the women, you know, or even other shepherds that might be weaker, you know, as they had to feed their flocks and get on their way. Getting pushed around a little bit here, and this is what we're going to see with Jethro's daughters here. They're not like all the guys that are watching the flocks. And so they get bullied around. It's interesting, as we noted last week, Midian means strife. Again, we see that even they had some strife. And although this was necessary to train Moses where he needed to be, again, this is where God now is going to send this sweetener in to transform Moses' life. And it's kind of neat because the way he set it up is really pretty romantic. Notice it just so happens that Moses ends up at the well where the local pastor's seven daughters are watering their flocks. Not a bad place to end up when you're single, on the run, in the midst of strife, and discouraged with where life is taking you. You know, God blesses, I believe, the Christian oftentimes with, you know, beautiful children. And I'm not saying that outward beauty is what it's all about. There's different ones and all. But no doubt out of these seven, there had to be some that were attractive. Zipporah no doubt was. I love this because this is where Moses meets his future wife. Now note this. The first thing you want to note about this is, where was Moses when he met his future wife? Spending time by the well. I find that interesting because I know that it was a literal well. I understand that. But I remember when God brought me to himself, he said, Mark, don't even think about those kind of things. Sit by the well. Spend time in my word. Spend time in prayer. And everything that you need in life as you sit by the well, I'll bring to you. That's sweet. Because otherwise that means I'm going to have to be out running around trying to find somebody, right? I don't think the believer has to do that. I really don't. I'm not talking about sitting in your house, you know, close the doors and pull the curtains and expect to ever, you know, find a relationship. But I really believe that if we make God our number one priority, we make the word of God and we sit by the well. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and what? All these things will be added. And I know he was talking about our clothes, our food, and all that, but I believe there's an application there that goes beyond that. You seek me first, I will bring your bride to you. You seek me first, I will bring your husband to you. But if we get all wrapped up in seeking a bride or a husband, then I think we're going to miss the one that we should be seeking first, and that's the Lord. Because there's not going to be a successful marriage without him being number one anyway. And so it's interesting to me to see the whole picture here that God's painting. When Moses gets his wife, he's sitting by the well, and there's a spiritual picture in this for us. His focus was on God's word, drinking it in, focusing on the blessings of God. And so God brings him to her, and I think that's how God works. Now, the second thing I noticed about this was, not only did God bring him a wife, God brought him a godly wife. Now, it doesn't have to be a pastor's daughter. Not all pastor's daughters are godly. But obviously, these were. And God brought him a godly woman to be a companion with him. And that was encouraging to me because, again, anybody can find a woman. And any woman can find a man. But if you wait on God and sit by the well and trust in him, then God brings a wife. God brings a husband. God is the one who does that. It's, you know, even Adam, and look at the whole picture in the garden, Adam and Eve. Adam didn't go out looking for her. God worked in Adam's life, put Adam in a deep sleep, and then he brought, you know, Eve to him. And so, again, I'm not saying we need to be a recluse and that kind of thing. The point is, I think we just need to trust God and say, God, I'm going to put you first, and you'll be the one that brings the gentle comfort in my life. You'll be the one that has the tender mercies. If I need a wife or a husband, you're going to bring one. I'm going to trust you. But right now, my focus is going to be on you. And focus zeroed in, Lord, and I'll trust you with all the other details. So he brings him a godly wife, and he brings a godly wife while he's sitting by the well. To me, that whole picture, I believe the Holy Spirit is painting of how we're supposed to be. And again, he would need a godly wife. He's called to be a pastor. He's going to be pastoring a church of over 2 million people.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what he does through his people and for his people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.